Jerry Fruit.
All city governments are dysfunctional, but each is dysfunctional in its own way. Some people treat the city governments of London and New York as being a lot alike. After all, each has an elected mayor and a separately elected city council or assembly. Each is a city with roughly 7 to 8 million people in a metropolitan area roughly 18 to 20 million. If you compare the cities with this kind of similarity in mind, New York seems way ahead of London in terms of the authority it exercises. To give just a few examples, New York has the largest municipal hospital system in the country, with 11 hospitals and more than 100 community mental health centers. It educates over 1 million children in primary and secondary schools, provides housing to 420,000 city residents, runs 29 job centers, has 60,000 children in childcare programs, provides over 200 shelters for the homeless, operates 1,700 parks, manages the city's water supply, admits 110,000 individuals to its prison facilities every year, and has more than 2,000 trucks picking up 12,000 tons of garbage every day. London city government, the Greater London Authority, does none of these things. None. All of these kinds of services are provided either by the national government or by the 33 local governments within London, London's 32 boroughs, and its financial district, the City of London. New York City's government is overwhelmingly a service government. It provides services of an incredible variety and scope to its residents. That's not what the London city government is. New York City government in many ways is more comparable to London's boroughs than it is to the Greater London Authority. In terms of service delivery, London's citywide government is very weak. From a service point of view, some people think London should be more like New York. I think this is the wrong way to think about the comparison between the cities in this conference. For our purpose, London's citywide government has a lot to teach New York. Our four interconnected themes require us to put together work and home life, public space and private space, the neighborhood and the region, cars and mass transit, immigrant businesses and high finance, policymaking and urban design, the metropolitan region and the city block. To deal with our issues, New York and London have to think about how and where they should grow. London has the capacity to do this, and New York City doesn't. In 2004, the Greater London Authority published a document called the London Plan. It lays out a vision of the city in terms of transportation, economic development, housing, and public space, along with the environment, social exclusion, tourism, culture, design, and many other ingredients. The London Plan envisions London as connected to those around it, to its own southeast region in the UK, to Northern Europe and the European Union, and finally to the world. The London Plan examines both London as a whole and sites on specific blocks within the city. It seeks to understand how our different kinds of questions relate to each other and what to do about them. It's important to emphasize that the Greater London Authority didn't just decide to write the London Plan. It was legally required to do so by an act of Parliament. To an American reader, it represents the very kind of regional thinking urbanists long for, a regional thinking that covers and organizes the work of 33 constituent municipal governments. True, the document focuses